Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Got you. Today, we are not doing a show in regards to me. Today's show is our launch of our new segment, Relationship Remedies, and it's going to be your source of information on topics related to your relationship success. We come to you live the first Wednesday of every month from 8 to 9 p.m. East Coast time. So tell your family, tell your friends, let them join in on the conversation. And here to bring you the remedy for your relationships, our host, Dr. Linda. But wait.
It's about me. It's about you. It's about us. It's about Relationship Remedy with Dr. Linda Owens-Wiley and Hank Sis. Join us.
Hey, peace and blessings. I'm Dr. Linda Wiley. Welcome to Relationship Remedies. This is a place where we will discuss hot topics related to relationships. So bring us your questions, your comments, your concerns. It's all fair game because the conversation is all about relationship health. Now, those of you who don't know me, I've been a relationship specialist for approximately 15 years now. And in addition to my background in psychology, I'm a biblical lay counselor, a life coach. I've done broadcast radio and internet radio. And so we're just doing it one more again and bringing it to you with a different flavor this time. And to add more flavor to the conversation, I've enlisted the help of someone who is an author, a spoken word artist, and most important to me, he's my friend. His name is Hank Stewart. What's happening, Hank?
I am ecstatic to be on this show with you. Man, I got the likes down, Linda.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just, oh, man, I got it. I'm getting right because I'm sure you're going to tell us something.
I can imagine. Okay, so the lights are low. The candles are lit. Candles are lit. Okay. Mm-hmm. What else you got going on? Have you poured a glass of wine yet?
Got a glass of Riesling. You know, we straight now. So good glass
straight.
Of Riesling.
See, I got my Riesling. Okay, we're ready.
Mm-hmm. Got
we are
warm.
Ready. Mm-hmm. So I would invite all of our listeners to do the same. You know, sit back, relax, pour a glass of wine, turn the lights down low, and get ready for a wonderful ride on the Coco Express show where the whole motivation is to listen, learn, and live. And so this really is exciting because Hank and I, we go way back, and we were both once on the number one FM station in Atlanta. And I was on one night talking relationships, and Hank was on a different night of the week, and he was dropping. Back then we called it poetry. Now we're a little more sophisticated, and it's spoken word. But
it's
Hank
still
was
poetry.
Dropping.
It's still
it's poetry.
Poetry. It's still poetry.
He was dropping some of that on folks. And it's my hope that as we do this show from time to time to help set the stage, that you will give us a little taste every now and then. We don't want to give them the whole thing because we want to encourage them to keep listening. But from time to time, I think you ought to show them a little bit of who Hank Stewart is. Will that work for you?
We can do that. We can do
okay.
that.
All right. That's cool. And, you know, as I was thinking back and thinking about here we are on the radio again, it's like one of the questions that I came up with is why is it that people never get tired of talking about relationships? I mean, at any point in time, if you turn on the television, the radio, turn on a station like this one on your computer, you can do a podcast, you can almost 24/7 find people talking about relationships. So what is it that we just never get tired of talking about relationships?
Well, I think part of it is that's what drives us. That's what, you know, keeps us vibrant. Think about this. You can actually have a job, have a good job and a bad relationship, and you don't want to go to work. Or you can have a bad job and a good relationship, and you happy when you go to, you skipping when you go to work.
Yes.
It's that one thing that kind of drives us to be exactly who we are. And so I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon, Doc.
I don't think so either. And it's sad to say, but I think part of the driving force behind it is that we just can't seem to get it right. That's part of the problem. You know, it's as much as we try and as many relationships as we have and all the lessons that we should be learning, people keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. So I think one of the things that's going to keep us talking about this for a long time is that everybody is struggling to get it right.
Well, and the other thing is too, the older we get, the more baggage we come with. Am I right on that?
So now,
when I was 22 years old, you know, I hadn't even had a real serious relationship, so I didn't bring a lot of baggage. So, you know, it was all about me pleasing you and you pleasing me, because we had nothing to compare it to. Now that I'm 49, 50, you know, 51. And I got all these other, you know, past experiences and relationships. You know, you got to cut through a whole lot of red tape to get me to the point that we can even converse. You know, I got to deal with all of the bad relationships.
That's true. And, you know, I used to joke about it with some of my friends, but it really is true. At first, you, from a woman's perspective, you start out with relationships and you just have a little purse. And then as time goes on, you develop, you have a little tote bag. Then it becomes a duffel bag. Then you got a full set of luggage. And some folk got boxes and trunks and moving trucks and all kinds of stuff worth of baggage. And you show up, here I am, and you expect somebody to welcome you with open arms when you got all this baggage that you bring along with you. So I do agree with that. And I think that at some point we have to do a show that's dedicated to helping people learn how to first recognize the baggage and then learn how to unpack your bags. But that's
we got a pod.
Anyway.
You ever seen a pod? A pod is that thing they drop at your house and put in
your
yard.
And you fill it up.
And you just store it. It's deeper than just you know, luggage now. It's a pod sitting out there with all that stuff.
That's a shame. And probably the super duper size pod.
The super duper. It ain't the one bedroom pod. It's the five house pod.
Got the whole house.
Five bedroom.
Because there's just so many challenges in relationships. And, you know, it's amazing to me. Okay, so let me just get right to this early, because this is something that I find really interesting. So a male friend of mine, now I know you think you're the only male friend I have, but I'm sorry to bust your bubble, baby.
Upset.
That's not
I'm
true.
Already upset.
I know.
I'm already
you're
upset.
Still number one. You're still number one.
I don't know, but you're talking to other folks. You're talking to other folks. So let's see what y'all talking about first before I get too pissed. Go ahead.
You're really going to be mad. Okay, so I was talking to this brother, and we were reminiscing about the way things used to be back in the day. And two things I'm going to share with you. The first one, he mentioned that, like, back in the day when he would go out to the club and stuff, if he saw a woman who was dressed, like, in tight clothes, everything real short, the girls at attention and spilling over the top, and she had the long weave and false eyelashes, all this makeup, and just, you get the picture.
Mm-hmm.
He said what would register in his mind was he would pay her attention, because what it said to him was, she's easy and she's ready, and I can score right there. She's all smiles and grins because she's thinking, oh, brother's paying me some attention, I must look good. So I'm just curious, is he on point with that? When a man sees a woman who's dressed like I described and she sends off that vibe, what runs through a brother's head?
Well, I don't want to put all of us in the same, you know, paint everybody with the same brush, but we're pretty close. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
I think that he's pretty accurate. I think that, you know, your dress code insinuates a lot. I mean, we don't see a CEO of a major corporation walking in his company while he's sagging,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, you know, we've believe it or not, that a lot of that, it plays a factor in how you approached, you know.
Yeah.
And we don't take that woman completely serious, you know. Let me make it more personal. I don't take that woman serious, and I would never paint all of our females and all of our brothers with the same brush and make sure that, you know, we're all. But I wouldn't take her serious. I mean, I'm looking for, especially at my age, you know, and I'm getting ready to hit another milestone. At my age, you know, you're looking for something a little bit more committed. You're looking for something that's a lot more solid. You're looking for somebody who can kind of, in other words, you know, she can be three or four different people to you, and particularly have an intellectual conversation. We're looking for someone who, you know, who you classy. Most of us are in careers, and if, you know, back in the day, it was this thing where you would go to dinner with your boss and management people and things of that nature. So you wanted somebody who was a good reflection of who you are. And so I think, you know, I wouldn't take her too serious.
See, and that to me is another reason why we keep talking about relationships, because the frequency with which I see that particular woman.
No,
that's not what I said. See,
We're
going to talk about the freaky stuff later. It's still early. We're at the top of the show.
I just heard F, and I just got sidetracked.
Put the glass down.
Okay.
The frequency with which we see that type of woman who fits that stereotypical mold is increasing more and more, and they're getting younger and younger. So when I see these sisters who are representing themselves in that way, it really pains me, because the attention that she's getting is different than the attention that she really wants. And so the relationship doesn't work, and she finds herself back in the same cycle again. And so that's why we have to keep talking about relationships. And I really think it's sad. And one of the things that it identifies for me is just how low our self-worth has gotten. And so whereas that sister believes that she's very confident enough to be her own person and dress any way she wants to, really the message that she's sending to everybody else is, I don't recognize what I'm worth, because if she did, she would not be presenting herself in quite that way. Would you agree with that?
And I think we also have to look at this new level of males, you know. So the man, we have changed too. You know, we used to play with this and marry that, you know.
That's the other thing. Remember, I said he told me two things. Okay, so the second thing that he said.
So that means you all had a pretty long conversation, so I'm going to have to brief you on this because you're talking other folk. But anyway, yeah.
But who's with me on the show? Come on, baby. Who's with me on the show?
I'm here.
So anyway.
I'm back.
All right.
I'm back.
So what he said, the second thing that he said was that if a woman is willing to share her goods too early, like first date, second date, you know, early, he said a brother, and he was speaking for himself, he will take it, but it instantly registers for him, she will not be my girlfriend, and she certainly will not be my wife. And so, again, women, sometimes we feel like, oh, we got that attention, he must be into me. Or what a lot of today's women think is, you know, it's just casual sex, it doesn't mean anything. But deep down inside, most women do want that connection. They want to eventually be somebody's wife. And just as you mentioned before about, you know, brother has a career and he wants to be able to take her to work meetings. If you're a woman who you've been seeing a guy for a period of time and most of your dates tend to be at your place, something to eat, watching a movie, and when he has to go to company functions, he has a tendency to say, it's going to be boring, I'm just going to drop by for an hour or so because I got to make an appearance and then I'll be back. If you don't really get to meet a lot of important people in his life, you really should start reading the signs and know that based on how soon you might have given him access to the goods, he now has placed you in that category of, yeah, I'll take it, but you're not my girlfriend or my woman, and you will never be my wife.
Well, that about sums it up, you know, because when we're excited about you, we show you off. We take you out. We want the world to see it. You know, we don't mind that the public display of affection, holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have a problem with that because we're happy to be with you.
Right. And so I just think it's sad. And hopefully, you know, something that we say here today will just ring a bell in somebody's mind. So I would just throw out that if you have a comment or a question related to that or anything else dealing with relationships, you can give us a call. The number is area code 347-637-2379, and then press 1. So, again, the number is 347-637-2379. And then you can also send us an email And that email address is cocoexpressshow@gmail.com. So however you want to hit us up, we'd love to hear what you have to say. And particularly if you don't agree. I mean, let's have some conversation, because the whole point is let's get to a place where we can help people with their present situation. So if you find that you're one of those folks who is in conversation, hanging out with somebody, sleeping with somebody, but, oh boy, really doesn't take you out and show you off, that could be the reason why.
Let me ask you a question, Doc. So do you think today's woman still wants to get married?
Exactly. What do you think? Sorry, you know, I was looking at this number. Let me tell you that number again, because I just said it wrong. It's area code 347-637-2319, not 79, 2319, and press 1. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Hank.
So the question of the day is, does today's woman still want to marry? And I ask that question because, you know, I'm reminded of someone who I think is absolutely beautiful. She's sexy besides you.
Okay, I was about to say, stop talking about me.
She's beautiful, she's sexy, she's vibrant, she's successful, and she was on the front cover of the Essence magazine last year. And on the front cover of the magazine, it was quite interesting, and I thought it was quite disturbing, but the cover, she was single, satisfied, and she had two kids by different men, and she was okay with it. That person was Nia Long, you know, and we look at Fantasia, you know, and we look at a lot of superstars. I don't want to start
calling names.
Halle Berry just got married the second go-round, but the first time she was very comfortable just being, you know, being a mommy without having a husband. So is that the new trend? What are you hearing in the meeting in the ladies' room?
You know, it really is a new trend. It's sad, but it's true. And what a lot of sisters are saying is they're kind of giving up on marriage. It's not that they don't want to be married, but they hear the biological clock ticking, and they believe that, okay, since the husband is not coming, let me just go ahead and have this child and raise this child. And if I get married later, that's fine. If I don't, that's fine too. And that's settling, because it's not what they want. And it's also not the best thing for that child. And it's not the best thing if you keep taking it out from there. It's not the best thing for her, for the child, for the family, for society, the community. I mean, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I really think a lot of the problems that we have in society today are because you have these lost boys and girls. You've got these kids who, you know, granted, a mother's love is important, but a father's love in a child's life, without it, you've got young men who get into crime and drugs and all kinds of things, and you've got young girls who get into this low self-esteem and promiscuity because they're constantly searching for that love that daddy never gave them. So I think, you know, and I know this is going to sound kind of harsh, but to some extent I think it's a self-centered approach. It's a selfish approach, because that woman is thinking about herself. She's thinking, I want a child. No man is coming along right now, so I'm just going to go ahead and do this. And I don't think she's giving enough thought to what it's going to do, like I said, to the child, to the family, et cetera.
Well, and you know, there's so many things that the child needs from both parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're right. I mean, you touched on it, and I think we underestimate that. You know, you hear this, I don't need a man type woman who I can raise
right.
this child by myself, male or female. But, you know, but there are so many things that the male child needs from his father and the female child needs from her father, you know,
right.
that mother cannot get. And you're right, that mother's love is powerful. And I'm not saying, and there's been some situations where the mother's had to do it on her own. You know, the husband was killed in a car accident, or, you know, in the army, or, you know, just different things, or got sick, or, you know, I understand that those are, you know, extenuated circumstances, but to just choose, I think you're being extremely selfish to that child.
And
so, you know, it'll be interesting to see some calls in, because I see a whole lot of, you know, here in Atlanta, I see a whole lot of mothers and, you know, caring children and walking with their children and no man is, you know, no place, nowhere around. And it doesn't seem to be you know, anywhere close. I think we're doing a disservice to our children, and we're seeing it in the school system. We're seeing it on the playground. We're seeing all of this fighting. So, you know, I would hope that we get some calls on this one, because I think this is a major issue.
Yeah, I hope so, too. And I hope that some of the women who've made that decision would call in, too, because I would love to hear from her perspective, first of all, what were you thinking? And second of all, how's that working for you? You know, now that he's growing up and you're faced with whatever challenges you're faced with in raising that child, and you're trying to teach a boy to be a man, which a woman cannot do. So it's like, how's that working for you? And I would love to hear someone's perspective on that, because I really do think it's a new trend, but it's not a positive trend, and it's not a trend that we should be aspiring towards. But more and more, you've got these, and I see it a lot with young women. I know in a situation where I was working at one point in time, there were young women, you know, like early to mid-20s with two kids, three kids, different dads, not getting child support, and they're working, making like $10 an hour. How well can you provide, and how much time do you have to work to make a decent paycheck so the kids aren't getting your time and attention, and you're basically living from paycheck to paycheck? What kind of life is that? So, again, for me, that goes back to that low self-worth, because want more.
You're bitter, you come home mad, and your children only see a mad, because you're trying to keep the lights on. You're trying to keep grits and groceries on the table. So, it will be really interesting. I really hope somebody, like I said, call in and gives us their perspective of how it worked for them. I think when we start talking about love, I think love is a little bit different today than what we were reared on. You know,
I would say is, I would say love is still the same, but what people are calling love is different. You know what I mean? Because some of what they're saying is love is not love. Love never changes, and the book that I'm familiar with says love never fails. The reason it never fails is because there's a prescribed way of loving, and most of us have gotten so far away from that that what we think is love is not love. Love has almost translated into, what have you done for me lately?
What is the prescribed way?
I'm talking about the way Christ talks about love.
Okay.
That's love.
I wanted to clear that up, okay?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. And I know sometimes the argument comes back from women who have means. So, you know, we called out the names of well-to-do women. And many times what they say is that they can afford, you know, I can afford to raise a child on my own. Okay, you might be able to pay the bills. You don't have to work yourself into a frenzy. You can have the nannies and the everybody else. But, again, there's something that two-parent family provides, that I don't care how well-intentioned you are, even if you just look at situations where parents have had to divorce, and even where the parents are both involved in still parenting that child, that is not an ideal situation. And what messages are we sending? I think about, you know, little girls who are raised by single moms, and we're perpetuating the cycle because they see their mother doing it on her own, which sends the message to them, I don't need a man, I can do it on my own. And many times when you have that mindset of I don't need a man, without realizing it, you subconsciously send out that vibe. And part of the reason why no man comes, or when he tries to come, he doesn't stay around, is because all of your attitudes, your actions, and your behavior say, what, I don't need you. So he figures, okay, well, let me go somewhere else. Because as quiet as it's kept, y'all are kind of fragile when it comes to the ego, and no man wants to be in a situation where he feels like he's not needed. You guys need to feel as if you're in charge, you're the provider, you're taking care, you're the protector. And so when a man comes into a situation where he feels like a woman does not need him for those things, he is quick to either supplement that relationship with another one. That was kind of nice, don't you think? I didn't think he cheated,
but that's what I'm saying. That's true, and then we walk all the way across the room to ask you to dance, you know, and you talking about your feet hurt. Yeah, that hurts. That hurts. That doesn't feel good when I've walked all the way across, and your girlfriends are looking at me, come all the way across, and I ask you to dance, and you talking about your feet hurt. Yeah, we're fragile. You would be fragile too. Things like that hurt us.
my God. How many women have you asked to dance? You probably did not get turned down much growing up asking girls to dance. Yeah. Just cut it out.
Yes, I did. So let me ask you a question, though, Linda. Okay, because to me, so are we getting to the point where our relationships and courting is obsolete? I mean, is dating obsolete? Is courting no longer?
It's still vital, but it's not really happening. Because, I mean, even think about the way we date via social media. Now, I'm not saying that you should not meet somebody on one of these dating websites. I'm not saying that. But that cannot be a substitute for the courtship. Because what happens is you get lulled into this false sense of security, and you think that the persona that they're putting forward, and this happens both ways, men and women, you think that the persona that's being put forward is who that person really is. Most of that stuff is not. They're allowing you to see a part of them that they are, or who they wish they were, or who they want to be. You can't get away from the face-to-face, spending time together. There's no better way to get to know someone than to actually be in their company. And less is more. We have got to get back to less is more. So we come into relationships telling all our business, telling all our hopes and dreams, telling everything. Reveal a little bit at a time. Where's the mystery? You know, allow someone to get to know you slowly. And really, until after that first argument, you really don't know who that person is. I'm a big proponent of that. Let that person get mad, and I'm not saying you make them mad artificially, but over time, you spend enough time with someone, and that's why, you know, there really is, not that it's a hard, fast number, but there really is a little bit of truth to that 90-day rule that Steve Harvey made so popular for the rest of us psychologists, and we've been talking about that for a long time. You need to spend at least 90 days. You need to spend more time with someone, and after that first argument, that really gives you a clue into who that person is, because when everything is nice, of course we're getting along. But how do they handle disappointment and anger? What kind of temper do they have? Do they start calling you out the name? Do they, you know, what is it that they're doing? Do they get immature and go off and just decide not to talk to you anymore? More importantly than how do we argue, how do we put it back together? Is this somebody who can be reasonable and sit down and say, you know what, I apologize. Let's talk through this. Let's find out what went wrong and see if we can make it right. So until you get through that, you really don't know that person. So I think people have stopped courting. Everybody is so quick to get their needs met that we advertise our physical abilities, put it out there on display, and as soon as somebody's interested in buying, we start spending time with that individual. And if they start throwing a little bit of money your way, you know, take you out, pay a bill or two, show you a nice time, buy you a gift, we're all in. And many times you don't even know the details about who that person is. You don't know their character. All you know is what they're showing you. So, yeah, we have definitely gotten away from courting, and I think we need to go back to dating big time.
And I think you said we do it too fast. You know, fast is relative, Doc. Some people think fast. Some people think that I've given you more than enough time by dessert to let you know exactly how I feel.
Right, you know? And if the bill was over $50, then you really
need to know. You really need to know how I feel. If the bill is $75 on this first date, I need to let you know that I'm crazy about you. I just think that we've lost the art of courting. I think women have lost the art. You know what was disturbing to me, and I can't knock you all for not being receptive to this, but it just bugs me every single day. I walk behind a woman and reach to open a door for her, and so many women have gotten to the point where I guess because you all have to open your doors so much, or so many of us are not opening the doors, that you don't even expect us to open the doors anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so we've lost so much of the whole masculinity, the femininity. It's really cloudy right about now.
Okay, see, I blame the car manufacturers, because once they made those little remotes, brothers are big for pressing the button. And once they press the button and you hear the little beep beep, I guess you figured, why I need to open the door? It's unlocked. You can open the door yourself. And so you know, now this may not apply to you, but there are a lot of men out there who don't open the car door anymore. So We get used to opening the car door to get in the car and opening the car door to get out. And so when you walk up to the building, you figure, well, if I had to open the car door, I guess I'm going to have to open the door to the restaurant, too. And that's just kind of how it plays itself out.
Let me go to the car door.
Yeah,
I come over and open your
car. I know that's one of your pet peeves. Go ahead. Let us hear you.
I go over and open your car door. It's raining. I get you in the car, and you don't even reach over and unlock my door and push the door open. I'm out in the rain.
You need to let that go. You've been crying about that for as long as I've known you. You really get upset if when you're outside, if the woman does not reach over and not unlock, because you've already unlocked it.
You've already unlocked it. Push the door.
You want her to grab the handle and push the door open a little bit to make it easier for you. I don't know where that comes from.
That's just to show that I'm thinking about you, baby. I don't want you to get wet, too. Come on, hurry up. I got you. But no, you sitting in there comfortable. You done start applying makeup and lipstick. And I'm out here, and it's cold.
Let it go. That is not making a big difference. By the time the woman reaches over and grabs that handle to push the door a little bit, it has swung open 2 inches. Those 2 inches are not making the difference.
It makes me feel good because it's almost like with you all, you know, when we come around and open the door, we do something, you know, it makes you feel good that he did it. You know, even if he tried to open the door, you just feel – it makes me feel good when she pushed the door open, and at least like she's attempting to look out for me at the same time. Hell, somebody might be chasing me. I don't know.
But if they chasing, we trying to lock the door. Oh, no, y'all need to stay out there.
So we both locked up.
If the woman got in the car and put her seatbelt on, she can't reach over because that seatbelt is confining.
I hadn't started the car up yet, Doc.
So she didn't have her seatbelt on yet.
Exactly, right.
You don't want us to buckle up as soon as we get in. You want us to get in and help open your door, and then we can go ahead and buckle up.
You start buckling up when you start hearing the ding dings on the bell when the car is ignition. Ding ding. That's when you start buckling up. Anything else is premature. But you know, but again, it's little things. I mean, we all looking for those little things because they're telltales for us. You know, And a man opening your door, and, you know, I tell my son all the time, and it's not even just the fact that he's interested in you. That's just, you know, being a gentleman. I'll open the door for an old racist white woman. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. She's a woman, and I will open that door for her, you know. But we've gotten away from it.
So now if you and I are out together and I get to the door before you, would your expectation be that I stop and wait for you to catch up and open the door for me?
Yes, I would. Because I shouldn't be that far behind you. It's not like I'm, you know.
Well, no, you just be a couple of steps behind or something.
I shouldn't even be a couple. You know, I should be even with you. And then when we approach the door, you should step to the side, and I open I reach around you and open the door. You know, but
you to run up ahead. What you talking about? Run up ahead, roll out the carpet. I need to step on some.
You know, I'm sure protecting you, so I'm getting you to the door, and then I'm opening the door for you, and then I'm standing behind you when you walk in. You know, there's an art to this thing. It's just like, you know, it's an uncomfortable state when I'm, you know, when we're walking along on the sidewalk. You should be on the inside of the sidewalk.
I like that.
And I'm on the outside. You know, it just feels
good. You know,
a lot of people
say, oh, that's old school. No, it's just some things don't change. I mean, what's polite and respectful is polite and respectful, and it just doesn't change. Now, I will say that I have learned to wait at the door for a man to open it. I was not always in that place, but I have learned to do that. But I will say on behalf of my sisters everywhere that sometimes we do feel kind of stupid when you just stand there for a minute. You know, when you are perfectly capable of opening the door and you just kind of stop and wait. You know, you don't, for some of us, I don't know that everybody feels that way. Some of us feel a little uncomfortable. Some of us feel like I don't want to be perceived as being the diva. You know, I can't open my own door. So it is something that you have to get comfortable with. But I do believe that it is a good practice. And I think if you know that the man in your life or the man that you happen to be with, if he's a gentleman and that's what he wants to do, then I think you should allow him to be himself and open that door for you.
I mean, isn't that what we train our young men to do, though?
Yeah.
I mean,
my boys do that. My boys know to open the door. My boys know to open the car door. My boys know that even if I'm driving, I don't pump gas unless I'm the only one in the car. So if I pull up to the gas station to the pump, that's your cue. You need to get out and go round the side and put some gas in my car. So, yeah, there are just certain things that I've taught them. I should say we've taught them. I can't take all the credit that we've taught them to do, because that is just the way a man should treat a woman.
My sister could call in right now and tell you, I open the door for, open and close her door. I put my mom in the car. I mean, I don't understand where it became uncomfortable, though, Doc, that we do not open doors for women, that it's uncomfortable for you all to sit there and wait on it. Help me with
it's
that.
It's the waiting. I mean, I just think that we've gotten to the point where we have become more independent and self-sufficient, and everything is quick, fast, in a hurry, and we're just used to, if I'm by myself, I walk up, I open the door. So sometimes it's just a consciousness thing. You know, you have to stop for a minute and let him open the door. But to your point, if we're walking side by side, we should get to the door at the same time, and there should be not, you know, no issue with just stepping to the side and letting him open the door for you. Because I agree, I think the little things many times are what differentiate. That's sometimes how you can tell character. And what I tell people all the time is, you need to look beyond what someone says and look for their character. Character will come out in a number of different ways, and you can kind of get a glimpse of it, you know, in combination of different situations, things he says, things he does, in order to know someone's character. Like, okay, my friends are going to kill me because I'm telling all their business, but here's another friend. There's a female this time. So this female had a child by a man who was not her husband. And, well, let me take you back a little bit further than that, because this is going to be another good conversation for us. Okay, so here's a man who was married, and according to him, he and his wife had a child, and according to him, the marriage wasn't going well. So he and my girlfriend, let's call her Vicky. I don't think I have any friends named Vicky. If I do, Vicky, I'm not talking about you, okay? I don't think I have any friends named Vicky. So Vicky is friends with this guy. And so they would talk, they would hang out, he would come over. First of all of that right there, we need to put the brakes on. That's wrong. That's another woman's husband. If he doesn't have anything else to do, he needs to go find a male friend, go to the bar, go to the restaurant, go shoot some hoops, go to the gym, do something. But a married man does not need to come over to a single woman's house and hang out and watch movies and complain about his marriage. That's just not the thing to do. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be friends, but you really should not be on that level engaging. So that was the first mistake. And the reason is because it leads to these other things that I'm about to describe. So he's talking to her. She's consoling him. One thing leads to another. They start sleeping together. She gets pregnant, has a baby. Now, oh boy, is nowhere to be found.
Wow.
Her comment to me was that she was surprised at him because she never expected that he would just turn his back on his child. And I'm like, okay, and so what part of his character caused you to think that he was going to be a stand-up guy? Was it the fact that he was cheating on his wife? Was it the fact that instead of being at home with his own baby, he was hanging out with you? If he wasn't home taking care of the first kid, what made you think he was going to take care of your kid? I mean, it's just stuff like that. So she's going off of nice guy, just in a bad marriage. He really wants to do the right thing. What was your indication other than his words that was who he is? Because, again, when you look behind the words and you look at who he's spending time with, having sex with, all the other stuff, it's like his character revealed itself. You just refuse to see it. So I'm always telling folks, you got to look for the character, because character really doesn't change. I mean, when you become aware of something you're doing that you want to change, it takes time and effort. But really, only God can change a man's heart. So when people act in certain ways that give you a clue into who they are, you need to pay attention to that stuff.
Well,
so,
immediately I thought, what about her character? Because she opened the door.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the other side of that.
Vicky?
That's the other side of that.
You hear Vicky? What about Vicky's character? Vicky is the one who opened the door.
Yeah,
you know,
So...
what part of her, you know, she's just as wrong, you know, and we have a tendency not to I mean, and I'm not saying that you're not doing this now, but we have a tendency to always look at the male portion, but, you know, that sister has an opportunity to stop a lot of this before it goes any further. When you gave him your number.
That's right.
As soon as you gave him your number, or as soon as you accepted that first lunch and you knew he was married, you know, or meet out for a drink, you know, all of that, like you said, he's got enough boyfriend, guy friends or cousins or even a sister. If he needs a female partner, call his aunt, call his sister, call, you know, call a cousin. But as soon as she accepted that date and know, and she knew he was interested, she knew it.
Yeah.
You know, she knew he was interested when he made the first comment, "You really look nice in that blue dress." And he looked up and down, and she thought it was cute, and she hadn't been, nobody looked at her in a while, so she accepted that advance. She's just as wrong.
Exactly. And she's in denial, because if you think that, again, that I've heard it said, I'm not saying this applies to all men, but I've heard it said that when a man and a woman are friends, for many men, not all, but some men have the tendency of thinking that basically every woman that I know is either someone that I've slept with or someone I haven't slept with yet. Now, if there's any truth to that for some men, you're laughing. See, if there's any truth to that for some men, then you know what category. So that woman has got to be strong, because if you're going to be friends with him, you're in that category of he just hasn't gotten to you yet. And I want to acknowledge before you respond, we got a Facebook comment from Brian. Brian said that, you know, it's just like chivalry. Chivalry is a lost art. And so I would love to hear a man explain chivalry to me. Explain chivalry, Hank, since you're the only man on the line.
Chivalry, when we say chivalry is not dead, that's the opening in the door. That's pulling out the chair. That's helping you with your coat, taking it off and putting it on. I mean, and this really has nothing to do with relationships or being in love with somebody. You do that, that's what males do for females. Chivalry is taking your hat off when you enter in a room with someone, or, you know, back in the day, a man used to tip his hat when he spoke to a lady. You know,
all that
falls in under chivalry. You know, we don't do that. Now little boys come into, you know, into a room and they keep the hats on. The men keep the hats on. You know, and you know what bugs me? Okay, let me just tell you one other thing. Can I just tell you what just bugs the hell out of me? Guys, I hope they hear me on this one. I'm so doggone tired of seeing guys with jeans or shorts on a date with a woman who got heels and dressed to the nines.
You know,
she looked like she's taking her nephew or her brother or her little cousin out to dinner.
Yeah.
You know, at least compliment her by having the decency to put some what we call hard bottom shoes on. You know, she's dressed.
And I'm gonna take that a little bit further, because
no,
this
is my issue. Let me rant.
Finish. You got 30 seconds. Go.
I mean, she's dressed. She's got her hair done. She's got her nails done. She started getting dressed because, you know, y'all, it's sometimes it takes y'all a little bit longer, 2 hours in advance, and you roll up in a plaid shirt, some capri pants, and some sneakers with some socks on.
Yeah, and you know y'all probably wouldn't stand for it if we got dressed like that to meet you. But one of the things I was going to say that takes it to another level for me is I'm tired of seeing grown-ass men, I mean 40 and 50 years old, dressed like they're 20. I'm tired of seeing them in the sagging pants, the jersey, the baseball cap turned backwards. If you're 50, dress like you're 50. That's not how a 50-year-old man ought to dress, because that's not how a 50-year-old woman wants to come out. You know what I'm saying? And so dress your age. And women do the same thing. When you get to a certain age, the real high heels with the platforms, the mini skirts all up halfway up your thigh, that even if your body looks good, you're having a disconnect between the body and the face and the age and everything else. And they're just dress appropriately. It doesn't mean you can't be fashionable, but be appropriate. But back to Brian, because what he was saying is that chivalry is lost on so many. And I think where he was going with that is that many times a man will demonstrate chivalry, but a woman doesn't know how to receive it. She doesn't accept it well. And I admit to that. I think there are a lot of women who do. And when I said that, you know, it's a little uncomfortable to get to the door and kind of wait instead of just opening it, I think that's part of that. Because women nowadays have not really had that, if your dad wasn't in your life, or if your dad didn't treat you the way he wanted you to be treated by the men that you would date, then you may not know what to expect. So when a man comes along who is chivalrous, you don't know how to receive it because it's not something that you're used to, and you certainly don't see it on TV and in the movies. And, I mean, it's just lost from society, period. So I do think that many times when men try to be chivalrous, they run into women who just – we just don't know how to receive it.
Yeah, I've had women, you know, just friends who – I'm not going to wait on you to come around and open the door. I'm right here.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so I'm going to get in a, we're going to get in an argument for me wanting to open the door for you.
Yeah.
And you get in the beauty salon, and then it's, you know, men ain't, you know, whatever. So, you know, but I think you know, control, alt, delete. I think we're in a place right now where it's almost like we need to, you know, when you know how you clean your hard drive, when something's wrong with your computer, you erase everything. You have to just clean the complete hard drive, start over, reboot, clean it
up.
Got
a virus. That's what happened. Your hard drive got a virus, and it's time we need to put some antivirus software on there. You're right.
Start all over.
We need to reprogram. Exactly. We need to reprogram.
Go back to this original state. Go back, you know, that's what they do in IT. When they clean, they put it back to the initial state, the purity of what that hard drive looked like. We're at a point right now where we're so jacked up right now, we need a control, alt, delete. We need a reboot. We need to clean the hard drive. We need to start all over, women being women, men being men, and relationships being valued.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad state of affairs right now.
But, you know, you said a word that we don't hear very often anymore, and that's purity. I think we've lost that because people don't want to, you know, again, for me, I'm not saying that I'm the perfect Christian, but I do aspire to be. And so that book defines a lot of
my thinking. There they go. There they go. That's always your intro. That's always your intro.
Behavior.
I ain't perfect.
And so, well, none of us are. So we have to say that because you don't want people to point the finger and say, okay, well, I just saw you do so-and-so. Okay, well, I'm not perfect. But I think that if we're going to control, alt, delete, and go back, what are we going back to? And so for me, we need to go back to the basics. We need to go all the way back. And what is it, you know, what would Jesus do? Remember, it was popular, 15 years or so ago, everybody was wearing those WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? Nobody was doing it, but everybody was asking the question. And so we need to go back to that because there are very descriptive guidelines in terms of how we are to act and interact. And I'm just a firm believer that when you get out of order, chaos is what comes. And that's why we're in a chaotic situation. So, but we don't have a lot of time left. We have probably about 10, 12 minutes left. So let's see if we can just kind of, you know, control, alt, delete the conversation. Let's kind of shift and move it to more of a positive note so that we can end on a good high note for those who are listening along with us.
I think the high note is people, I really do believe that we still aspire. I think men and women still desire to have a good relationship. I think we're probably going about it the wrong way, but I still think I'm optimistic. I believe that we still want to love, you know, and I think in the midst of all of the baggage, all of the junk, all of the things that we go through, I think at the end of the day, people still want to be loved. They still want to find that love. We still hold out for that romance if we haven't found it.
Yes, I think we want to love and we want to be loved. And I think that in many situations, people are doing the best that they know how to do, and that's where the problem lies. What we need to do is reeducate ourselves. We need to help people understand what is love, what is chivalry, what is respect, what is self-worth. We need to get back to that because I think people, you know, in all fairness, people are doing the best that they know how to do. But that just may not be enough. That may not be the true measure. So, you know, it's almost like anything else that you do in life. If you don't learn the fundamentals, you know, think about sports. You can get out on that football field and you can do the best that you know how to do and lose every game. If the coach has never taken the time to teach you the fundamentals of football, that you have to do the fundamentals, you have to practice, you got to get your rest, you got to eat right, you got all of that stuff. get on the field, learn the fundamentals of the game, go through the drill so that you know how to do these things and it becomes second nature. And then when you get in the game, you have a chance of winning. We've lost the art of the fundamentals. We don't know how to love ourselves, first of all, before we can try to venture out and love someone else. We don't know our self-worth. We don't know how a woman should respectfully treat a man or how a man should respectfully treat a woman because, I mean, a lot of the conversation, and I take responsibility for that, has been moving towards things that men don't do for women. Women don't necessarily know how to show respect for men either, and we get it twisted. Lots of times we want to use that submit word, which is a good word, but it only applies to a husband and a wife. So there are lots of things that women are doing for men who aren't their husbands that they have no business doing those things. But then there are women who are married and they should be doing certain things for their husbands to show respect that they're not doing. Because, I go back to that book where I'm taught that the man is the head of the household. We don't really understand as women what that means because for a lot of us, as we said, if you grew up in either a single family household where there was a mom but no dad or a household where the mom was definitely the stronger, more involved parent, then again, the messages that you're getting have not been good messages and you need to start all over again. So we really, in lots of ways, have it twisted and we're doing the best that we know how to do, but that best just is not necessarily the correct way of going about it.
Well, that word submit, they need to start practicing it long before marriage.
Mm-hmm. I knew I made a mistake talking to you as soon as that word slipped out of my mouth. Submit only applies to a husband and a wife. So, no, we don't need to start practicing that before we get married. No.
That submit needs to start happening when we exchange numbers. Just start submitting.
No. Plus, I need to remind you that it does say submit one to another. So men have to submit, too, just in a different sort of way. So let me break out my Bible on you because you know I will go there.
Pull it out right next to that glass of wine that you're drinking.
it depends, I guess, on your denomination. That's a whole topic for another show. If Jesus turned water to wine, why can't I drink wine?
At the wedding, he turned it in.
That's all right. He still said it was okay for them to drink.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do believe that, you know, you're right, submitting from the male's perspective. We got to release ourselves. I think we got to get to a point where you're open to, and if you've chosen the right person, then it should not be, if God has put the right person in your life.
There you go.
You know, And it's the right person, you should have no problem submitting husbands, you know, wives to their husbands and husbands to God and his wife, you know, because he is the head of the household. So,
see, I know y'all know this stuff. I know you know it. Probably killed you to have to say that. I know you know
it. It really did hurt. It got a little choked up. I got a little, it wouldn't come up.
Wash it down with some wine. You'll be all right.
It was struggling.
You'll
trying
be
to
all
come
right.
up. But.
Take a sip.
Take a sip. Hold up. Let me drink a little bit.
Take a sip.
Well,
and by the way, Brian agreed with us on the fact of going back to the basics. Brian agrees that's what's missing. We need to go back to the basics.
And Brian,
we need
hit
to
on
educate.
The head. If you go to any corporation, any athletics, if you go to the music, anything, people always say, you know what, we need to start back with the fundamentals. We need to go back to the basics. Whenever something is not working, when you find a football team who's losing, the coaches start, they say, we need to get back to the X's and the O's. We need to
get back to
the basis.
You run those drills. That's why
y'all do
one a days, two a days. That's exactly why you do that. You got to learn those
fundamentals. Exactly right. You got to relearn it because you've gotten so far off track that you need to relearn what you knew you learned and you're not applying it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I hope that if a husband and wife are listening or young ladies dating some young man right now, or some man is dating young, that they step back and say, you know, let's go and have a scoop of ice cream and sit there and talk. You know, we have so many devices, and this is a whole nother topic, but we don't even sit down and talk without pulling out our phones and Facebooking and Twitter.
Oh, and I hate that. Don't go out to eat with me out to eat with me and pull out your phone and be talking about I'm listening while you're looking at Facebook or you texting. I hate that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I did bring that up. It was really my pet peeve, but I'll let you have a piece of that.
We can't share. We can't share a pet peeve. As long as we've known each other, you won't share your pet peeve with me?
Yeah, I will share that pet peeve with you. But we're taking phones out. We're Instagram. We're Twitter. We're so busy taking a picture and answering text messages and things of that nature that it's a wonder why you don't know him or her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you didn't have an opportunity to meet. Y'all have never really had intimate and quiet time alone.
A conversation. What happened to conversation? We spend so much time needing to be entertained that what happened to just go for a walk and talk to one another? You want to get to know, there's a good date for you. Go for a walk. Go to the park. What happened to those kinds of things?
And Linda, send me a whole message on, we do not communicate through text messages.
Texting.
We do not. Text messages for a quick answer. I'm outside. I'm in a meeting. It's not to have a whole. And how is it that I can text you, Linda, and we text him back and forth? When I pick up the phone and call you, it rolls the voicemail. Now
I'm
that
busy.
Burns me up. We've been talking
I'm busy,
on text.
Hank. I'm busy.
But we've been texting each other for the last 5 minutes, and then I pick up the phone and call you, and it rolls in the voicemail. That hurts.
She's busy. See?
Then she didn't have time to text.
You could be someplace where it's noisy. You could be someplace where you don't want somebody to hear your conversation. And that doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. So there could be reasons why a person is available to text. But I will say that in a relationship, it does raise suspicion when you're available to text, but you're not available to talk. So.
And then you lose the emotion behind it. Because I don't know. I might say one thing, and you don't know if I'm serious or if I'm kidding. I could say, I could say one thing to you in a text message, and because you don't hear the human voice and that laughter, it could change the whole tone of the message, you know.
And that's so true. And sometimes what you need is that connection. That voice, the right voice, can make everything okay if you hear it. But I'm looking at the clock and seeing that we're down to like 2 minutes left. So this time has gone really fast. I have enjoyed talking to you. And my hope is that as we do more of these, and remember at the top of the show, Aurelia did announce that the first Wednesday, I know this isn't the first Wednesday, but the first Wednesday of every month at 8 o'clock, we will be here talking about relationship topics. If there's something you want us to talk about or address, you can send an email to CocoExpressShow@gmail.com. Again, that's Coco, COCOA, Express, EXPRESS, Show, SHOW, CocoExpressShow, all together, @gmail.com. And tell us what you thought of tonight's conversation. Give us some things you'd like us to address, questions you want answered, situations you need help with. Tell your friends and your family they need to listen in. You can follow us on Facebook, Dr. Linda Wiley and Hank Stewart. Hit us up on Twitter, however you want to connect. But we are committed to having conversations like this because as a people, if we don't talk and help one another, things will never change. So because we're out of time, I just want to say it is always a pleasure spending time with you, Hank, and I'm looking forward to the next show when we can come back and help folks with their relationship situations because you don't have to deal with your stuff on your own. You can come to us and together we can work out a relationship remedy for you. So, Hank, you got any parting words before we sign
off? Well,
the
feeling is always mutual, and I think the more people listen, and the more they're going to grow. Because I have the luxury of sitting on this show with a woman who I think is absolutely incredible, and definitely have the credentials. So, you know, our listener out in the listening audience, please, you know, write your questions down, email them, because you have a professional on the line. I'm just a sidekick, but you have someone who's more than equipped to answer and give you good, solid Christian advice. That has a ground to stand on. She can give you biblical scriptures and things of that nature to really, you know, strengthen your relationship. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited about what we're going to do for our community and community at large. Thank you.
Me too. Thank you. My pleasure. So, you know, you can go to the website, the Coco Express Show, and hear this show, which is being recorded. You can also tell your friends, send them the link, whatever you need to do. So it's been a pleasure. I'm Dr. Linda Wiley, and we'll see you next time. Peace and blessings. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in, and come back for more Relationship Remedies with Dr. Linda and Hank. because it's all about you, it's all about me, it's all about us.